Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 3, Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender, Text 26. Soham Vishvasrijam Vishvam.
Soham
Avishvam Vishvavedasam. Vishvatmanam Ajam Brahma. Pranatosmi Paramam Padam. Saha, that, aham, I, the person desiring release from material life, visvasrijam, unto he who has created this cosmic manifestation, vishvam, who is himself the whole cosmic presentation, Avishvam, although he is transcendental to the cosmic manifestation. Vishvavedasam, who is the knower or ingredient of this universal manifestation. Vishvaatmanam, the soul of the universe. Ajam, was never born, eternally existing. Brahma, the Supreme. Pranataha Asmi. I offer my respectful obeisances. Param, who is transcendental. Padam, the shelter. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Now, fully desiring release from material life, I offer my respectful obeisances unto that Supreme Person who is the creator of the universe, who is himself the form of the universe, and who is nonetheless transcendental to this cosmic manifestation. He is the supreme knower of everything in this world, the super soul of the universe. He is unborn, supremely situated Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Purport. Sometimes when bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness is preached to the common man, people argue, where is Krishna? Where is God? Can you show him to me? In this verse, the answer is given, that if we are sufficiently intelligent, we must know that there is someone who has created the entire cosmic manifestation, who has supplied and has become the ingredients for this cosmic manifestation, who is eternally existing, but who is not within the cosmic manifestation. Simply on the basis of this suggestion, one can offer respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord. This is the beginning of devotional life. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhute Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskha Jyade Siddharane. As will be explained in the next verse, things that are obvious to some are completely confusing to others. That's because the material nature takes away our real intelligence when we become involved in competing against Krishna. When we don't serve Krishna, and it says, Bhayam dvitiya bhinaveshitasya, Bhayam dvitiya bhineshurasya, Vishadab apitasya vipario smriti. That bhayam or fear, which is the ultimate manifestation of the material energy for us. There are five different stages of falling into material consciousness. One beginning with avidya or ignorance. These have been explained as being created by Brahma at the beginning of the creation, in the third canto, in a slightly different way, vidya, mahavidya, etc. But this is vidya, that we don't know who we are. We don't know who Krishna is. We don't know actually things as they actually are. It's called avidya. The root cause of material existence, when we don't know who we are, then we accept avesha, something that we're not, called false ego. And as soon as we accept avesha, because along with this body comes rag and dvesha. The body was formed from the subtle body, and in the subtle body, since time immemorial, we've had so many attachments and so many things we're averse to. And when we get a particular body, a particular set of attachments and aversions come out in a certain way. And that manifests itself ultimately as abhinivesita. Abhinivesita means fearful that we're going to die. Because if we think of this body, then we know the body is going to die. So then we think we're going to die. And what could be worse than death? Everything else is just the prelude to death. Because we're most afraid of losing our health, our wealth, whatever else. And death means to lose everything that we think we have now. So one who is under the spell of the material nature, whether it be avesha, well, due to ignorance or false ego or attachment or aversion or fear, then they've lost their intelligence to different degrees. And when it's explained how there is a controller behind the universe, it is difficult for someone who's trying to understand, and it's impossible for one who won't understand. Prabhupada said if someone is asleep, it's relatively easy to wake them up. But if one is actually awake, but they're pretending to be asleep, then it's practically impossible to wake such a person up. So, materialists, even they know there must be a person behind the creation, but they become even more envious when they hear about that. And they make up philosophies so that not only they're distracted, but they want to make sure that everyone else is distracted also. Therefore, in modern society, people who are most materialistic, they have accumulated the most wealth, the most positions, the most power, because that's all they're interested in. They're not distracted by worshiping of anyone. All they worship is power and money and position. And for that, they're willing to do anything in order to fulfill their objectives, thinking that they're going to do the impossible. They're going to create life out of matter. They're going to create a soul out of material energy. They're going to make a soul, they're going to put a soul in a machine, so the machine can think independently. They're promising so many things, but they're wrong. They have so many misconceptions, and they think they're going to be successful, but ultimately they die, and like everyone else, and they have to come back and get the results of their work, like everyone else. Therefore, one may take pleasure by focusing one's mind on some material objective, denying God's existence. They're known as the Asuras. Pravitim cha, navritim cha, jana navidur asura, nasocham napichachiro, nasatim teshu vidyate. So Krishna doesn't just say they don't believe in me. They don't believe in following anything that might lead them to believe in Krishna. Harini Kashyapu followed very strictly some vows and became very powerful. So because of those vows, he got to see Krishna. Perhaps not in the most pleasant way, but still, because he follows the Vedic culture, or at least he followed austerity to an incredible extent, therefore he got the personal attention of Krishna. But modern asuras, they're not even interested in following even to the slightest degree because they don't know what the purpose of life is. Nite vidu swarata kitim hi Vishnu. They don't know the purpose of life is obtained Krishna. And therefore they eliminated that. Matirana Krishna paratakshatova. The last thing they're going to put their consciousness on is God. And the last thing they want anyone else to put their consciousness on is God. Of course, if you create a God in a fairy tale, that God is, you know, whatever God you choose, they worship the devil, that's also God. You worship your God, an old man on a chair, whatever, that's all right. As long as it doesn't mean anything practical, like cleanliness, mercy, truthfulness, or austerity, as long as it doesn't mean anything practical, you can worship a totem pole for as long as they care. But actually, they want us to worship them as God, like Hiranyakashipu. Where is your God, Prahlad? Is he in this pillar? Prahlad, I'm God. No, Prahlad said that, my dear father, that you're Asuryavarya, you know, you're Asuryavarya, that, my dear father, O best of the demons, Tatsaru Manye Suryavarya Dehinam Sada Sumudvigna Dhyamasatgraha. You're claiming you're God, but I see you're always drunk because you're in anxiety all the time. What kind of God are you? Is God, who the controller of everything, he's in anxiety and fearful? Why are you trying to escape? Who are you trying to escape from if you're God? So Hiranyakashipu didn't take it very lightly. Eventually he did everything he could to kill his son. He didn't want to hear about God at all, or see anything that reminded him of God, or someone who was trying to remind him of God. He tried all he could to get rid of God, because after all, Prahlad was born out of God consciousness. When Hiranyakashipu was meditating on the two sparrows, Narada Muni and Parvata, were crying at the top of their lungs, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Prahlad was born when Hiranyakashipu was meditating on Vasudev. So he couldn't get rid of him. Until finally God came and got rid of Hiranyakashipu. So the modern suras, they're trying to get rid of God. Actually, the main thing is they're trying to take his place. They're trying to pretend that they're God, in spite of the fact that they're completely 100% like everyone else dependent on God. They're simply instruments that give everyone the reactions of their sinful activities because they also don't believe in God. Therefore, they've been appointed and empowered by God to get rid of the other little atheists who don't want to find out about God. Or at least, they've been appointed to encourage other people to take shelter of God. And they're put into difficulty, as it says, Tatenu kampam susa mikshamano punjana evatmakritam vipakam, that someone may be pious and they may believe in God, but because of their past sinful activities, their activities in ignorance or in defiance of Krishna or God, therefore they're being put into difficulty by the asuras, by the modes of material nature, etc., in order to help them take further shelter of Krishna with more seriousness. In any case, when one becomes a little bit clear in one's consciousness, a little intelligent, then it's obvious that there's someone who created the universe. It doesn't require a PhD degree to figure it out. That car is going down the street, a child may think it's going down the street by itself, but an adult who knows things better than the child, he knows that there's a driver behind the car. Otherwise, the car wouldn't move. So this dead matter requires a driver, or else it won't move. Just like when we're in the body, then the body moves because we're there. We don't have experience that when the soul leaves the body still moves in the same way it did before. Similarly, the whole universe, because the super soul is there, it moves. And when the super soul is no longer there, it doesn't move anymore. Matter requires consciousness, a living entity, to move it. And when we see that it's being moved, further to illustrate that, is that when we see it's being moved with intelligence, we know that dull matter has no intelligence by itself. Intelligent souls utilize intelligence to move dull matter. That's why the sun comes up at a certain time and the sun goes down at a certain time, because it's being systematically moved by supreme intelligence. Now, someone who can't understand that, what do we do with them? We don't do anything with them. Because we'll just be wasting our time. If someone can't understand something that's obvious, we're not going to help them understand it by pointing out things that are not obvious. I remember one time I was with Srila Prabhupada and he was talking to a guest in Buffalo in 69. And Prabhupada was trying to tell the guests that he was an Indian gentleman who had invited Rupanuga to come to Buffalo and open a center there. So obviously he was a little pious, but he was an impersonalist. And at that time Prabhupada was in Buffalo for a week, and he had all the time, because there was sometimes an engagement in the morning. And so Prabhupada took a lot of time talking to the guests, and especially to the few. There was only like five or six devotees there, so he took a lot of time talking to the devotees. Actually, there were some visitors who came from Montreal. And Prabhupada told Dr. Lal that just like your, if you want to understand who your father is, then the best person to ask is your mother. She's the only authority that can give you the proper answer. And if you want to find out who your father is, who the Supreme Father, you have to ask your mother, the Vedas. She can tell you. So our Indian gentleman could not understand what Prabhupada was talking about. So he repeated it three times. And still he couldn't understand. So I was expecting maybe Prabhupada would give a different analogy. After all, he couldn't understand it the first time. He couldn't understand it the second time. He couldn't understand the third time. But there can be no more simple analogy, practical analogy, that if you really want to know who your father is, probably the best authority is your mother. Because nowadays they come up with so many different things, genes or whatever, DNA. But at least at that time they didn't have DNA. They just had your word of your mother. Of course, if she says, "I don't know," then you're in trouble trying to figure out who's your father. But if she does know, then she's the best authority. So the Vedas, which are considered to be those who follow the Vedas, they have faith in the Vedas due to the fact that they practically heard them, understood them, followed them, and got the result that the Vedas were announcing would come, explaining would come, since they've did that, then they have some faith in the Vedas that this is the mother. She's trying to take care of me. She's trying to help me. She's trying to help me grow spiritually or even materially. So if we want to find out who gave these Vedas, who was so intelligent, they gave us Jyotira Veda, even we start with Rig Veda, Sama Veda, Atharva Veda, and Sama Veda, and all the corollaries such as Jyotira Veda, Arya Veda, Dhanara Veda, Sthana Veda, whatever. So who gave these Vedas to us? So that's our mother. Well, we could say that the Vedas are like our mother. And someone gave us these Vedas. So if we want to find out who gave us the Vedas, we can find out in the Vedas. And the Vedas say Krishna created everything. Krishna is the original source. Even the commentators on these Vedas They always talk about, the actual bona fide commentators, they talk about glorification of Vishnu, who's from which these Vedas have arisen, from his breathing. So if we don't accept the Vedas, then who do we accept as an authority? And on what basis? Who has given us practical knowledge of the fact that we're not this body, or how the universe is working? That we get from the Vedas. The scientists are not going to tell us, we've done some experiment and we've discovered the soul. Or we've done an experiment and we can see that the actual source of the creation is the cowherd boy holding a flute. No, they can't tell us anything. They tell us everything came out of nothing. As if that's something practical we can experience for ourselves. Has anyone ever seen anything come out of nothing? Have the scientists seen anything come out of nothing? Do they have a picture of from nothing something's coming? So where do they get these ideas? Because their intelligence has been stolen by illusion. And anyone who agrees with them, it means that their intelligence must be stolen by illusion also. Nothing practical, nothing observant, nothing even according to the scientific method, just a whole lot of nonsense coming out of, well, the void. That is the void between their two ears. That's the only void that exists. And from that void, all kinds of nonsense things are coming. But from our practical experience, it takes living beings to move this material energy, and the more intelligent the human beings are, the more exactly they're moving the material energy. Prabhupada gives the example in America. The Europeans came, and because they were more intelligent than the natives there in some way, materialistically at least, they're able to do more than the previous natives were in terms of development, materially at least. So the more intelligence one has, the more one is able to develop the material energy and utilize it. So when we see supremely intelligence, we have to understand there's a supremely intelligent person behind it. And as I said, if we can't accept that, then there's nothing, what else are we going to be able to accept that's real? So rather than argue with people, better to find someone who's actually capable of understanding something as simple as that. Just like if you're in a battlefield, so many wounded people are on the battlefield, the medics usually go to the persons who are at least wounded, because they're the most likely to survive. They don't go to the incurable cases and try to help them. So when we find incurable cases stricken by the disease of Maya, probably better off to try to find someone who's savable, rather than waste our time trying to save the incurable. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
I have experience of people ready to accept Krishna, but not ready to accept some other points. Like I remember there was a devotee who was agreeable to worship Krishna, and he was doing a lot of nice service. But he could not agree that he should stop beating his wife. We could not convince him. It's not good. He said, no, she's my wife. She's not behaving properly. Why shouldn't I? I was surprised that he was from a slightly different region, but he considered it completely normal. So in that case, what do you do?
What do you do? You beat him.
He actually manifested his boisterousness in some inappropriate setting, and he was beaten up, but he then said that devotees were wrong to do this.
Well, there are three types of devotees according to Lokapila Dev: those who are practicing devotional service in ignorance, those who are doing it in passion, and those who are doing it in goodness, and those who are transcendental. So there are different devotees working in the modes of nature. So they may theoretically, or to partially accept Krishna, But they actually haven't really understood who Krishna is, that Krishna is everywhere, that he's even in the wife. So therefore it says that those who disrespect Krishna, devotees, or even other living entities, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti and Jiva Goswami, that those who disrespect other living entities, even if they're worshipping the deity in the temple, their worship is useless. But Krishna will arrange it that they'll, as you said, they'll get beaten. So they'll understand, maybe they'll correct their ways in some future time. Because, you know, the very idea, how can you be doing something? To accept Krishna as God means you follow his directions. Otherwise, what is the meaning of being God? That everything belongs to him, you find out how he wants to utilize everything in his service. So where does it say in Bhagavad Gita to beat your wife? And if he's doing that, he's violating Krishna's principles. Therefore, he's under the spell of the material energy. That means he doesn't really accept Krishna completely. He may accept him partially, but not really completely. Anything else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, the Vedas mentioned in the this purport, and I'm wondering, because I also heard that there are personified Vedas. Personified Vedas. But I cannot imagine how they look like. I mean, they were giving prayers.
Like they look like a book.
Yeah, and they're walking around.
Well, we have a conception of a book.
Yeah,
but previously they didn't have these kind of... There wasn't any printing press like this with a book. There's not a printing press in Brahmaloka. Nor do they need it. Because everyone there has a perfect memory. Therefore, they're personified Vedas because they personify in everything they do exactly what they're talking about.
Oof. Yeah, it's...
They're just manifestation of the knowledge.
Manifestation of the knowledge. Hare Krishna, thank you.
Anything else?
Sometimes we see devotees which have material attachments. They have. They seem to be very interested in money, women, followers. Do we still follow their advice? Or still?
Well, if you're interested in money, women, and followers, you can follow their instructions. If they know how to obtain these things better than you. But that's not why we come to... That's not the duty of a leader in the Hare Krishna movement to teach his followers how to get money, women, and followers. To teach them how to give these things up by developing a higher taste, becoming Krishna conscious. That's even at the beginning. It's called Klesha Agni and Sudurlabha. Subhadra. That Krishna consciousness gives one a higher taste than money, women, and followers. So if one is actually getting a higher taste, one will not be interested in those things. At least not in for oneself or sense gratification. Anything else? Avaduta Roy?
Some say Srila Prabhupada for a preaching purpose to his disciples and other, as his preaching tactic, did not speak always the proper Vaishnava Siddhanta. So my question is, can a Vaishnava Siddhanta be changed for that reason? Or to ask it differently, what can be changed while preaching?
Yeah, they examine time, place, and circumstance. I don't know what he's referring to. So if I don't know what he's referring to, I can't really say. Because ultimately the Vaishnava Siddhanta is convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if you have some instance where Prabhupada was trying to preach to someone telling them that Shiva is God or Indra is God or you're God, then we can see, you know, why Prabhupada ever said anything like that. Otherwise, I don't know who he's referring to. Anything else?
One more. In one morning, Vakshila Prabhupada says, we are not humble in presenting truth. We are not humble. A dog is humble. Why would we should be humble? It is a sign of weakness. How to not become proud if we follow this instruction?
Be humble. Humble, Prabhupada is referring to humility in a different way. Before Krishna, we're humble. But before others, when we proclaim that Krishna is God, then we're proud of the fact that Krishna is God. Not for our own pride, but for the fact that we're proud of Krishna. If Krishna is the source of everything, we should be proud of him. Who's better than Krishna? Not that we're the source of everything, but Krishna is the source of everything. Therefore, we're proud of him. Just like the coward boys, when Krishna defeats the demons, they're proud of him. They don't say, oh, Krishna, try to be humble. No, they're actually proclaim his glories when they come back to Vrindavan. After Krishna kills a demon, then they loudly sing his glories of his killing the demon, because they're proud of Krishna. Although Krishna is always humble. Isn't that right? That the Kesi demon was killed because somehow or another she took my hand out. I tried to lift up Govardhan downhill, but it just floated up for some reason. So Krishna is humble, but the devotees are proud of Krishna. Okay, thank you. Did he have another one? Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.